Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Brief announcement before we begin. At the bottom of the page, you will see there's a special presentation, and I'd just like to invite you to that. Reverend John Peterson from Mount Olive Lutheran Church, his father fought in World War II and was shot down behind enemy lines. And through the French underground, was allowed to make it back out to safety. It's a very fascinating story. Also has a very spiritual element to it. I'd like to invite you to come to that tonight at 7:30 in Meyer Hall 101. Very interesting story, and he'll have pictures to accompany it as well. Please join me then in the responses as we have at the beginning on our bulletin. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear me, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, beginning with verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One week ago, the planet Mercury passed in front of the sun and was captured on some video by NASA and other satellites. And if you happen to see that little video that they put together about it, it's pretty amazing. Mercury is a little bit larger than our moon, and to see this tiny, tiny little dot, so small, moving across the face of the sun, just makes you realize how small and insignificant the Earth is compared to the sun. It was so small that the people who put the video together had to put a little circle around it so that you would notice it, and it was that insignificant. It's amazing when we think of the immensity of our universe, when we think of the size of the stars and the planets, and how small our little planet is, and then how small each one of us seems as well. And to think that God is the one who is larger than all of this, not only our galaxy, but the thousands, maybe millions of galaxies that are out there that we can't even know about. And to think that God could put all of this into place, what an enormous and immense being this God must truly be. It's really hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to really come to grips with how tiny and small we are and how absolutely enormous and almighty this God must be, the King of all things. When Hollywood tries to capture things that have to do with immensity and size and tries to put that into a movie for us, a lot of times it just seems hokey, just seems fake, because it's something that's just so beyond our comprehension. We just can't come to grips with the size and scale and scope of some of the things that are out there for us. And this enormous God who has put all of this together and created everything and operates the entire universe, this enormous God is truly the King of all things. And we're told, "The Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him." He'll come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. What an image of power that is, of God coming on the last day of judgment. Being so small and insignificant as we are, and as this planet is that we live on, it's easy for us to be very terrified by the immensity of God, just how vast and enormous he is. You can see little glimpses of this even in Scripture think of the story at Mount Sinai when the children of Israel were near the mountain itself. God's power was on display there. We're told all the people in the camp trembled. God even commanded Moses, "Warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them would perish." Think how enormous and all-consuming and powerful this God must be, that just in that little incident in history, people just couldn't even stand to face him, to be in his presence, even that close to get to the foot of the mountain. Even the night of Jesus' birth, when an angel choir representing heaven, representing God, when an angel choir comes to announce the birth of that Savior and begins to sing for the shepherds, they're terrified. They can't take it. They probably drop to the ground. It's not even God. It's his representatives glowing, and they can't take it. Even that tiny little sliver of the glory of this almighty, all-powerful King of all things, humanity just can't deal with this vast contrast between us and this. Sometimes when there's something large and threatening, we may think that we can kind of hide in numbers. Like we can somehow be protected in numbers, in a mass of humanity. During the horrible shooting in Las Vegas a few years ago, and the man was shooting from up in a hotel room, down into the crowd of people. There were tens of thousands of people there in the crowd. He ended up killing over 50 people, and over 400 were injured by his bullets. But there were many people that began hiding behind other people. And I'm sure thinking that you're in a mass of humanity can somehow give you a little sense of some protection from something so dangerous. But that's not how it's going to be on Judgment Day. There's no, even though all humanity will be gathered before God in the judgment scene, it's not as though we can hide behind other people. We're told that each one of us will be brought before God's throne to be judged. And every individual in this world, God knows everything about our lives. But notice something in our text. Notice how God wants you to know him. He wants to be known as a shepherd taking care of his flock. That's a whole different picture of God, isn't it? A shepherd taking care of a flock of sheep. And in his incarnation, when the very Son of God, second person of the Trinity, chose to come into this world and take on our human flesh, it's as if he grabbed humanity and pulled it gently to his side. And he wanted to now become part of our human race in order to save us. And by taking the form of the Christ child, he laid down his life for the sheep, for each one of his sheep. And notice how personal and gentle Isaiah describes this God that wants to be known this way. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. It's pretty different than this immense, fearful judge of all things. He's going to gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. This is how God wants to know each one of us. This is how he wants you to know him through Christ in this very personal and gentle way. You can see this in Jesus' ministry. Think of the woman that was caught in adultery and brought before him, ready to be stoned to death. And Jesus knew her situation, and he knew exactly how to treat her in such a gentle way. Think about how he spotted Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree and called to him personally and said, "I'm going to come and have dinner at your house." Think about the woman who in the crowd of massive people tugged at Jesus' garment as he went through the street, and he stopped and turned back to look to see who it was, knowing everything about her life. Think about the woman putting her tiny little coins in the alms box, and Jesus knew her entire bank account, everything about her, and everything that had gone on in her life. Our Lord knows each one of us individually and wants us to know him in that way as a very personal God and Savior. When I was a little child, my parents bought me a little glow-in-the-dark cross. Got it at the Bethany bookstore. And I used to have that sitting on my nightstand right next to my bed. And sometimes at night, if I'd wake up, I'm a light sleeper, I would look over and see that little glowing cross. And what a wonderful little reminder of the personal nature of our God who's gone to the cross for each one of us. You see, from God's perspective, his church of believers in this world doesn't just blend into the massive pool of humanity. He has very direct personal knowledge of each one of his sheep. Listen, in fact, there's an interesting line in our text. He will gently lead those who are with young. That means a pregnant sheep. Now, a lot of times, the other sheep may not even know the ones that are pregnant. And yet the Lord does. And he knows how to gently lead them. He even knows what's going on inside of us and inside of our bodies. And then our text says this, when the Lord comes for his church in this world, his reward is with him. Reminds you of a general who had conquered a great battle and pillaged another nation and now comes back with wagons full of treasure and begins handing those out to his own subjects. That's how our Lord is. By defeating the devil on the cross and by his resurrection, he now comes and distributes to us through his word and sacrament the wonderful rewards of war that he has purchased and won for each one of us. Forgiveness of sins, power over sin, death, and the devil, and the hope of everlasting life in our own resurrection. A little child could know a king, a very large king of a huge empire, and that little child could sit on that king's lap and be known and treated differently by that king than maybe all of the other subjects in the kingdom. Our gracious God, who rules all things, this powerful, immense God, invites you through Christ to just sit on his lap and to let him treat you with his love and mercy as he promises you eternal life in heaven. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray. O Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, by your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you have established your kingdom of grace in your holy church here on earth, so that we might believe in the forgiveness of our sins. Since you are a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live, we ask you graciously forgive us all our sins through the same, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.